Diligence, persistence, strength, perception, and courage. Even God stands in awe of those who possess these, says Kavi Bilhana, 11th century Kashmiri poet. He was appointed as the Vidyapati by the Western Chalukya Empire, King Vikramaditya VI. Bilhana rewarded his patron by composing in his honor an epic, Vikramanka Deva Charita. Hello, my name is Malati, and here I am as an accomplished and gifted dancer on the show titled The Impressive Empress. It gives me immense pleasure to talk to these women leaders who have started a humble journey and have gone a long way to break many myths and beliefs to impact the society in a very positive way. The idea behind this show is to understand what it takes such a woman to become a leader, to understand their journey from within, the journey to becoming a female leader with a higher purpose. Our guest for the day is Shyamala Surendran. Shyamala has been teaching Bharatanatyam from 1987 and Mohiniyattam from 1989. She presently lives in Cochin, Kerala, where she runs her school, Dharani School of Performing Arts Trust, where one can get a systematic coaching in Bharatanatyam, Carnatic Vocal, Mohiniyattam, Kathakali, Mridangam, and Veena. She started learning Bharatanatyam from the age of 34, until which she was a homemaker, happily married to a captain in the Merchant Navy and sailing with him for 12 years. She has won the Kerala Sangeetha Nataka Academy Award, the Kalasahar Award for her contribution to Mohiniyattam, and also several awards for her consistent efforts and outstanding contribution in the field of performing arts and culture. For more details on her other awards, please visit bogya.online/theimpressiveempress/theempresstalks. I'm really happy to have Shyamala on this show talking to me about her passion for dance and being a maverick who wanted to achieve what's not commonly achieved. Listen on to Shyamala, the impressive empress for the month. Stay till the end as she happily shares a serenity prayer for all to learn and imbibe. A very good afternoon, Shyamala. It's my pleasure to invite you to join us on this talk called The Impressive Empress, where we are talking to women leaders from various walks of life to understand their inner journey that makes them lead with impact. So, welcome to our show.
Good afternoon, Malati. I'm very happy to be talking to you.
Shyamala, could you please introduce yourself?
I am a homemaker. I started off, I think, when I got married 23 years. After that, I was sailing for about 12 years with my husband, who was a captain in the Merchant Navy. And I used to love dance right from the beginning, during my college days also. But I didn't get a chance to learn it properly. So when I got a chance to start learning, my husband was agreeable to that. I started learning dance and I realized the depth of the dance. So I took it up seriously. And then after I started dance, there's no looking back. It was something I wanted to do right from childhood, but I didn't get a chance to do. And then it's something that really pulls you down like a whirlpool. Once you're in it, you don't want to get out of it. So that's what I've been doing. I've started the school after learning from the dance in the proper way from Dhananjain Sir, Padma Bhushan, VP Dhananjain, and his wife Shanta Dhananjain in Chennai, and Padma Bhushan Kalanidhi Narayanan for Abhinaya, that is for expression and inner feelings. I started that from Kalanidhi Narayanan in Chennai. And then when I came back to Cochin, I live in Cochin, that is Kerala. from Cochin. I started off the school thinking that I will try to teach the children what real dance was, proper Bharatanatyam, classical art form. So I started a school with just a couple of students in 1987. And after that, it just started growing, and it was just dance and dance and dance.
You have a very impressive profile with lots of honors and awards, and you have been doing a very amazing work in the field of dance. Earlier, when I spoke to you for the very first time, you mentioned that you didn't know why dance pulled you. It was like a kind of a strong magnet that was pulling you. And in spite of your husband being a captain of a Navy ship, which gives you a lot of luxuries and, you could travel around the world, something was pulling you towards dance. Maybe could you please talk about that?
I knew when I started off during the college days, I knew just one item in this classical Bharatanatyam, Nadana Madinar. That was the dance, that was the song. I didn't know the raga, the tala, nothing about the dance. I just imitated what was taught to me. And it really, I was very happy doing it. So on the ship, when I was traveling with my husband used to say that she knows dance. And I used to start doing just this one item. And I didn't even know what a debut performance was. That is called Arangetram in Bharatanatyam. Not only Bharatanatyam, all the art forms in classical art forms of India. It's called Arangetram. Arangetram, or the first performance on the stage. I thought it was just doing one item. And somebody from Singapore, I think, asked me whether my Arangetram was over. I said, yes, I've done my Arangetram. And when they looked at me with sort of a little respect, I was wondering why, because it was just one item and, I didn't realize it. Then when I took up the dance in 1984, after about 12 years, as I told you, that is when I realized that Arangetram means doing a complete repertoire. That is about 1.5-2 hours of performing, just solo performance, and that too doing Alaripur, about 9-10 items. And that is when I realized this is the reason why that a long time back in 74, the people looked at me, not 74, 72, that the people looked at me, our friends, with respect when I said that I did my Arangetram. And I was feeling very stupid about it. So I decided that I must start and teach the children. It's not just one item. It is a full repertoire that you have to learn. And it is not just competitions. In Kerala, the dance used to be only for competitions, school youth festivals. And then after that, about 16, 17, you stop dancing and you take up a career. It was actually joining the professional colleges, either medicine or engineering. So you get marks in Kerala, extra marks for the when you join the youth festivals and you get points for that. So to earn those points, that was the reason why most of them used to do dance. They didn't take it up as a profession at all. So I started off trying to wean the children out. Even if I can wean one child from joining the youth festivals, I felt I would be blessed. Now I think I feel very happy that a whole lot of them come and join the school, even though in the application form itself I've written that joining competitions. Because dance, I feel, is a conversation with God. So you talk, you bring out your emotions. It's not for competing. It is for yourself, for your happiness, where you perform and then you bring the audience along to the happiness that you feel. You take them over with your feelings. So that is what I've felt about dance.
I really like your expression, which says conversation with God. Dance is a conversation with God. Very beautiful.
That is what, because every item, there is either there is the Nayaka. The Nayaka is the hero. The hero is God. You know, you can call him by any name, or you don't even have to feel it. The poets have, during the Bhakti period, they have written it to, the hero is the God, the heroine immaterial, whether it is male or female, we are called the Jivatmas, and God is Paramatma. So the urge of the female to merge with Paramatma, the Jivatma to merge with Paramatma, is brought out in all the songs. And who will lead you to God? It is a scholar, a guru. So that place is taken by the Sakhi. So sometimes you talk to God directly. Sometimes it is through your friend you talk, asking for salvation, moksha. So that is the main theme. That is what attracted me. And that's what I feel about dance. Whatever you do, you can do contemporary dance. Even there, that element of something beyond you is there.
Beautiful. So dance, from the way you have described your attraction to dance, I could see that it makes you really happy. And happiness, I feel, should not be, it's not a state of mind. Happiness, I think, should be felt at the physical, emotional, and most importantly, at the spiritual level for someone to grow personally. Your comments on that, please.
I feel when you are doing something not under compulsion, not for any gains, but just to be happy. When you do something, and the happiness is something that you permeate to everybody, the people, you, maybe you could call it a positive energy. I don't know. I don't think it is. It might be, you can call it positive energy. It is something that you give everybody, and everybody feels it, and they take up. See, I've got a lot of housewives who come to learn dance. Housewives in the sense, people who are not doing nothing. And the dance, this feeling was something that was there in their mind earlier. But now they are able to take out, and they come and dance, not for performing, not for getting a name or fame, but they love dance and they come and learn. And so they are happy. In the long run, what happens when they go home, they impart this happiness to their family. They are able to look after everything well. And so you can see the results there also, that all of them are, you, it is happiness that you send all over.
Exactly. I mean, happiness is becoming a rare commodity, and art is one of the ways through which we can transmit or permeate happiness around. And you're doing a wonderful job there. But dancing day in and day out, does it not bring you boredom or maybe a burnout or fatigue?
Physically, yes. Sometimes you feel very tired. And then those are the times when you feel very tired. And that is when I asked about many, many times when initial stages, I was wondering, why did I do this? Why did I take up this dance? Because I was studying in Chennai. From Cochin, I went to Chennai. And when I have to walk back after my classes, and it's hot there, I used to take an umbrella and come back to Kalanidhi Mami's house where I was staying. I used to wonder why I'm taking up dance. Have I gone crazy at the age of 34 to take up dance? And now I'll have to wash my clothes. I'll have to do that. I just keep thinking where I could have just enjoyed reading a book or knitting, crochet, tatting, whatever I wanted on the ship. But then every time I kept asking that, at least maybe about 10 times a day, I would have kept asking, why, what am I doing it? After that, when I came back, I started the school, then I lost my husband in 1999. I realized that God was preparing me for this so that I could continue my life. Teaching, I've never ever felt, now my only child, my son, is a captain and he's in New Zealand. He migrated to Australia and then to New Zealand. He's there. I hardly see him. We are talking on the, like WhatsApp and those calls, but I hardly see him. I don't feel that I'm alone. I've got so many daughters. All my students are my daughters and sons. They come. It's a real pleasure. It's happiness, as I told you. So this is what God was preparing me for. So all my doubts are cleared now that I know it is. This is the call.
I mean, bringing up a child in spite of your busy schedule is a challenge. It is a challenge then. I mean, it was a challenge then, and it still is a challenge now. How did you manage with your schedule and being a mother?
I think if you know the priorities, husband, child, looking after everything and your dance, and if you give time for everything, I'm sure everybody can manage that. No, I'm not totally into, when you're dancing and you have that happiness, when you go to look after the house, that thing is, happiness is carried on and you're happy doing it. There are, not that always you are very happy. There are times when you really feel, oh my, but that is just for a little while. Then again, it comes up, the happiness start, you're full of energy. There are times you want to give up, but that is there in every walk of life. It is not only in this. Every walk of life, there are times when you feel really down. But there is something that keeps you going. And I read a lot. I think J. Krishnamurti was a very big inspiration for me. When I took up his book, the philosopher J. Krishnamurti, when I took up his book, I thought it's too high for me. It'll go over my head. But when I started reading, this is the feeling that I had, that love that you have, that he talks about love. It's beautiful. So that is, the books are also there that help me a lot in making me do what I want to do.
Books are a solace for so many people. That's very, very true. I'm also reminded of a quote I don't remember. So it says that the artist does not always need trauma to make art. In fact, we are now coming a full circle and using art once again to heal ourselves. So in today's world where we see, in leadership terms, we call of a certain situation where we have to deal with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of volatile situation, disruptive and complex and ambiguous situations. We call it the VUCA situation. And today in the COVID times, it's like, you know, we have the entire spectrum of it. So I think art is one of the ways in which one can actually find solace and actually find ways of dealing with the life's uncertainties. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, it is something. In Malayalam we call it sugumara kalagal. You know, it is something that makes you happy. Art is something like any form of art, painting. When it comes out, you are able to draw. It makes you happy inside. The dance, when you are able to bring out. See, I think it's come a sort of a meditation. Every part of your body is involved when you are. I'm talking about just dance. When you're dancing, performing, you can. When you're doing the right hand, you can't forget your left hand. It has to be in place. So every point, every time, the complete concentration is there. Now I personally feel maybe this concentration, this meditative quality of dance is what gives this sort of happiness and courage, this sort of inner strength in a person.
Today when we talk of women and leadership, we find that women are more emotionally intelligent. And we are also talking about unleashing our inner shakti. And when you say dance enables one or empowers one from inside out to understand one's emotions very clearly and bring out the best, you are helping so many women or so many, and also men, I suppose, through your dance school to bring out the best in themselves. You are creating a very big impact on the people around you.
Yeah. You know, I feel very happy that like they can do that. Each person can feel, I keep telling them that they can do it. It is possible for them to do it if they work properly. And, you know, like, I don't like women's emancipation, and you just fight and say, this is what I want to know. Like when I was in school in the smaller classes, we learned a idiom called, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So I feel women are emancipated right from the beginning. It's only that we just keep saying, oh, I can't do that. Oh, we are, you know, where there's atrocity, we fight for it. But otherwise, I think you got to give the respect to the men, like they are there, and your children. The whole surrounding, I look at nature. See, everything is in so much of harmony in nature. Not competing, like the mango tree doesn't compete with the jackfruit tree, saying that my fruit is better or that fruit is better. So from nature, I think we can pick up this feeling and just doing what you have to do. And then the success, everything will follow. It is when you want to show something and be something, and then when you don't reach, you will get disappointed and depressed and feel frustrated. When you don't have that, there's no frustration. There's no disappointment. When the feeling is, you know what exactly you want, that you can build up yourself.
Yeah, I mean, in your field of operation or in your field of arts, what do you think are the leadership skills that are required? You have traveled around the world. You have been part of a group or a troupe that went around performing in several festivals, some of leading festivals in the world. So there must be something behind your success. Otherwise, it's not going to be possible. So what are the kind of leadership skills that you have brought to the table?
I think perfection. You have to see everything, not do it, oh, this is what they will like. No. It's your perfection. You have to draw a high level of, see, there's so much of, what should I say, beauty in the creation, like the eyes are in place. So the same way when we form a formation or when we start performing, the synchronizing, you look at everything, the music, synchronizing, costume, everything. So as a total, it's like the totality of dance, how it will come through. And then you start getting the students, the people also to feel that they should do their best. So I think that is what brings out. Looking at even minute details, the perfection is what matters. Most often, like when we walk in, we don't see anything. We do things for others. We are not doing for ourselves. When you start doing things for yourself, you want perfection in everything, I think. That is what I feel.
That could probably lead to being a little bit selfish. So how do we overcome that aspect?
When you're doing it, when you draw your line of perfection, you know, it's high, and you want to reach that level, it is not I that matter. When you reach, I don't know how to explain, the I will go out from the window, through the window. You are not, it's something that takes over. You have time for everybody. You have thought for everybody. You see everything. When a person is self-centered and becomes selfish, you don't see anything around. But when you're seeing everything, the totality, the perfection in everything, then you have time for everything, listening to everything. Am I making myself clear? I don't know. Huh?
Yeah. It's we are here to listen to you. So your words do make sense.
I feel when we enter a room, half the time we don't look at anything. I had a principal, my Mother Gabriel, in school, where she used to say that when you enter a room and you see a picture slightly slanted or off place, go and put it right. You know, don't feel bad. So that is what I have followed. You know, I don't feel embarrassed that you will make the other person. You're doing it because that place is not right. Or maybe it's slanted a little bit. Just setting it right.
Mm.
That's all.
Mm.
You know, Mother Gabriel, a whole lot of it. Mother Gabriel is also there who helped me mold when I was a child. Like art, breathing. Mother used to say, hold diaphragm inside and then breathe normally. And she used to make a stand like that for a long time. And that has helped me in my dance. Also, your posture, your spine has to be straight. And you build up your energy inside. And then you will have time for everybody, everything. You are content, you are strong, you have compassion for everything. Not just compassion. You have time for everybody, everything.
True. When we have time and the energy, yeah, so then we are able to look around and not be selfish. That's very true. Now, you are also teaching students from across the world. And how do you handle the difference in culture?
Yes, it is, what should I say, like certain things, Abhinaya is reaching out to the audience, bringing out, see, poetry in movement is dance, so bringing out the poetry, to show the expression, facial, on the face, expressive, that part of it is a little difficult, and also, I find each country, when I teach, it is in a different way. Like some of them learn, they've got the natural thing to take up and feel it. But some of them want it, some of the nation, they want it very accurate, everything very crisp. A line is drawn where some you don't need. In India, when you start teaching, we take it for granted. And another thing is I find that when the students from outside, they learn, they want to know in and out of everything. And they know that the time is short. This is what I felt when I was in Chennai also, that I didn't have enough time. I'm already 34, 35. So I wanted to take in everything. And I could understand when the students from outside, they want to write down, they want to understand everything. That it's not easy for them to come back to me. Come back to the person to understand what it is. So you try to take in everything. Whereas the students in India, who are studying in Cochin rather, they take it for granted. They can come the next day and ask, and they will correct, and they will go on. So that dance is just a part of them, you know. But for the others, for the people, when I go outside and teach, they don't get a chance like that. So it's only for a short period and they try to take in everything what they can.
And you also provide free dance lessons to the underprivileged children or the homeless children. What is your motivation in doing this?
I always had a feeling for the underprivileged. When I was young also, I used to feel, you know, some of them are like, I don't know how to say it. Some of the, sometimes when there is famine and drought in different states, the people start coming around and trying to they sing songs, and some of them can sing so beautifully, but they come so dirty. I used to, as a child, I used to give them bath. give water, pour water, and soap and clear, you know, make them tie their hair. And I used to, I think as a, I had that sort of a mind. So when I took up dancing, before marriage, my parents, I don't think they would have spent a lot on my dancing for costume. They were not interested. My father was not interested at all in dance. So that feeling, I want to learn, but I'm not able to learn. That is there. So that feeling when I see that the children, they are not able to come and learn, I want to go reach out to them and start making them feel that they can dance and they can come here. I don't show any difference. They come here and learn. And I'm very happy about it that they also get a chance. There are a lot of them who are talented, very, very talented children. And so they get a chance to come and learn it. But they have to work. No taking it for granted. They have to really work for the dance. You have to do your, it's physical exertion when dancing. So they have to really work for it. And I feel very happy. A lot of them are there. One child we have given, she's gone to Kalachetra, the premier institute of classical dance, Bharatanatyam, started by Dr. Rukmini Devi, Rukmini Devi Arundale in Chennai. So we sent them there, and she's taken a diploma in dance, graduated from that school, and she's teaching now, happily married. So it just happened, and you know, like once one journalist came and to ask me, they had a school, street children, whether I could go and take classes for them, and I felt very happy. It's all being sent to me through, I don't know, some outside power. So I just went and started the classes, and it's so beautiful taking classes for them. And there are children who have gone through so much of difficulty, so much of trauma, and getting them back to do dance, make them feel happy, make them feel, come to the mainstream. We had a program, all the street children, they were also performing, but I never didn't mention it, didn't make a difference. I got the costume, everything. And I could feel after that, the children built up so much of confidence after that particular program anniversary. So those are the things that make you keep doing things, you know, seeing the happiness in the other's face, and you want to do more and more for the happiness that you are giving.
Wonderful. Really appreciable job that you're doing, because whenever we see underprivileged children, what first comes to our mind is probably, you know, give them food or give them clothes. But getting them to dance is something different. And it's really empowering those who want to dance but cannot for financial reasons. It's a kind of, empowering them, and wonderful job, Shyamala, that you're doing. Now, all of this requires a lot of self-care that's required. Unless you take care of yourself, you cannot take care of others. So what is your kind of self-care routine that you have followed over the years? Could you please share that with us?
Yeah, we actually, that is very important. That is, that Danjin sir used to say three Ds, and I added one more: discipline, dedication, devotion, and determination. You have to be self-disciplined. You have to look after yourself. Just today, I was telling one of the students, I said, see, don't we maintain a very expensive car? You maintain it. You maintain your expensive clothes. You look after all those things. Then why do we neglect our body? Why do we neglect ourselves? Be giving in to, having junk food and doing a little bit here and there. Not that you have to be a Puritan or, you know, something very, very pious and all that. No, not in that way. Have your time, but take care of yourself. Be disciplined. And that will help you in the long run. And when you I'm running 73 now, 72 plus, but I don't feel, I feel only 37. So if you change the thing, it's all in the mind. You can do it. There are times when your body aches, your leg pains, you want to give up, but you, it's like you just spring, it's a boat that you just spring up again and you keep doing it and then you'll find the result. So we have to, whatever you want to do, you got to be an example. You can't just sit and say, this is how the life is and this is the way you do it, and you don't do it. As a child also, when we are in school, when something is told to us and the lecturer doesn't do that, the way what she says, I used to really feel, why are they saying this? Question everything. You know, question yourself also. So you will be always discipline, devotion, dedication, and determination. You must have the determination also. I think anybody can, you know, sort of don't. It's easy to be very lazy and say that, oh, it's like that. It's difficult to pull yourself up. So we got to get that in us.
Yes, thank you for the 4 days. It was really a lot of wisdom shared, I should say, and very inspiring journey that you've had from your teenage or ever since you got married. You could follow your path of passion and also help others bring out that passion in them and make good for themselves. Thank you so much for joining us today on this talk show called The Impressive Empress.
I just wanted to mention one more thing. Sure. That is, there's a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That prayer will help everybody. And, you know, if you keep it in mind, the wisdom to know the difference between both. The accepting and the courage to fight against it. So thank you so much. I enjoyed talking, Malati. I just wanted to, I remembered this. I wanted to put this across.
Of course, of course. We are talking only to understand the wisdom that has helped you succeed and bring you to the position that you are today. So many of us can learn from that. So thank you for sharing this wonderful what is a prayer? Sorry, I missed the word.
Serenity prayer.
Serenity prayer. Thank you very much for those final words. I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing all of that wisdom with us. Have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Malati. Thank you all.
Shyamala considers that the purpose of art is not for competition. It's a journey towards self-realization through knowledge, truth, and wisdom. Thank you, Shyamala, for the wonderful work that you're doing. Salutations to such inspirers in our lives.
Thank you so much for listening in. I hope you liked this conversation and found it inspiring. If you think this could help transform minds, please feel free to share this podcast widely in your networks. You can listen to the Impressive Empress podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, JioSaavn, and Player FM. Got a question that you want me to ask our next guest? Do write to me at empress@bhogya.online. empress@bhogya.online. That's it for now. Bye until the next time, and take care.